Bench with John Granato and Lance Erlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Chris Canty joining us now. We saw Chris when we were in New York. Lance and I, we went up to New York for
the
Astros.
ALCS.
And Chris came
that was just one of the times they were the Yankees daddies. That was one of the times.
One of the times.
They were the Yankees
daddies. We
owned
them, yeah.
Yeah, Chris came up in studio. That was his that was his radio station where he works.
Yeah, right.
I think we got him to walk down the hall.
And former Super Bowl champ defensive lineman with us here on ESPN 97.5.
Former Cowboy.
Yeah, that's right.
And former Wahoo. Giant. Was Virginia D lineman. I watched him. Perfect build for a five technique. Joining us right now is Chris Canty. What's up, Chris?
What's up, John, Lance? How you guys doing?
We're doing all right. By the way, you guys, you are doing a great job on television, on the radio stuff, doing a very good job. Mike Golic is my guy, Mike Golic Jr. He's on the Joe Moore Award selection committee with me, so we talk all the time with those knuckleheads, and I thought when you guys were together, it was a really, really fun show. Like the show now, still, but I think you're doing a great job in the transition from the field up into the booth. Let's get into that for a second. More athletes than ever before are getting in there. There's a lot more competition for those jobs now. How much different is being in the media now than you thought whenever you were a player?
It's a lot different. My path was a little bit unconventional in the sense that I didn't jump right into a television gig. As a matter of fact, I got on working weekend radio in New York City with Anita Marks, who now does the Daily Wager show on ESPN. But that's how I started out. I didn't jump into, the SEC network or the ACC network or doing NFL Live or any things like that. It was a very... very unconventional path, but I'm glad that I had the opportunity to start out with the radio medium, because between radio and linear, I think radio is by far the more difficult one. And if you can do a four-hour radio show, you can do a two-hour television show, because you have so many other elements that you can utilize. It's been a wild ride. I've been in the business 7 years, but it's been all good things. And the best part about it is I get to stay close to the game that I know and love.
Now, how much baseball will you talk, and how much are the Astros in all of your heads up there in New York?
Well, yeah, I try not to talk much Astros, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, since 2017, you guys have been like a thorn in our side. But right now, all the Yankees fans are waiting with bated breath about what's going to happen with Aaron Judge. And we saw the contract offer that Brian Cashman started with, 8 years for $300 million. I think it's going to take a little bit more than $37.5 million a year to land Yale MVP, but we'll see what happens. But I'm a little bit concerned that there are other teams like the Giants, like the Dodgers, that are potentially interested in swooping in and getting Aaron Judge. But, yeah, not to digress, because I know you guys don't want to hear about the Yankees problems. I try not to talk about too much Houston Astros because I hate you guys.
Yeah, no, you should.
Well, you should.
You should. And
we're your daddy.
Chris? This is, as a Houston, longtime, lifelong Houston sports fan, I've been on the other end, mostly the other end of everything. It was always, and even more recently, it's like the Golden State Warriors, right? The Rockets and James Harden couldn't get past the Golden State Warriors. It is what it is. But everyone knows about the Patriots and the Warriors, for example. It is strange for Houston fans to have that kind of Golden State Warrior feel. And the Yankees are the team that just can't – they're like the James Harden Rockets that just can't find a way to get past mm-hmm. – it's like we're the Warriors for you guys, James Harden Rockets. It's a strange place to be in, but it's not a bad place.
No, it's a great
place.
It's
like you feel like you know what the Patriots fans felt like for years.
Yep.
Not now so much.
No. Chris, let's talk some football. What is nationally – what is the perception of Deshaun coming here this week? And this – I mean, it's got such little coverage – this game, as far as television eyes, is going to have the least of any team, any game that's going to be at noon. But what's the perception right now going forward with Deshaun here?
Well, I think everybody is looking at the game with a level of intrigue, a mild level of interest. I mean, you have to look at it from this perspective. You have a team that's won one game, through week 12, and then you have another team where their starting quarterback hadn't played in over 700 days. So I think that's the part where it makes it hard to get really excited about it, but I can't help but think about the irony of Deshaun Watson making his return after nearly 2 years absence from the NFL against the team that he had to force his way out of. So if we're going to see a better version of Deshaun Watson than we saw in the preseason, I think this would be the specific matchup that would, you know, evoke that hyper level of focus and preparation from Deshaun going into this matchup.
It really is an interesting situation for Cleveland because, you know, I mean, you're not a playoff team. You want to win games. Nobody ever wants to lose. Forget the draft. It's already been proven. Draft standing doesn't mean anything. It's who evaluates the best. That's what makes the most difference in the NFL. Not NBA, but in the NFL. But I also think that, you know, Cleveland can't rush this situation. They've got a great tandem of running backs. The balance of getting Deshaun worked into the offense versus trying to give him chances to succeed, I think that's going to be interesting to see how Kevin Stefanski calls plays.
Yeah, I think we know what to expect from a scheme standpoint. It's going to be a lot of the run game and then play action off of that with boots and sprint, getting Deshaun Watson on the perimeter. That is the Stefanski offense. So I don't have as much mystery on that front as some other people might have. I'm just curious to see what it all looks like when you put it together, because I don't know that we've seen a quarterback of Deshaun's talent, his movement skills, his arm talent, married with what has been the best run game in the National Football League over the last 3 years. So putting all of that together, I'm excited to see what the outcome is going to be, because I think it's probably going to be one of the tougher offenses to stop when you recognize all of the different threats that they can pose to an opposing defense.
Yep, and it starts right here in the city of Houston. You're up there in New York. Lance and I just went over about 9 coaches that we think could be coach of the year. He thinks Sirianni right now. I think it should be Saleh. And Daboll should be in there too. Who you got right now as your best coach in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against what Nick Sirianni has done with his team and the strides that Jalen Hurts has made. And you think back to the middle of last year when the Eagles had to morph their offense. And then Jalen Hurts has just kind of springboarded off of the second half of last year into this year. He's got the second best odds to be the MVP in the NFL. So I think you have to give credit to the player, but also credit to the head coach. And oh, by the way, they have the best record in the entire NFL. So my vote today
will
be for Nick
Sirianni.
Yeah, and that's usually how that works because they were not, you know, people, I liked him to win Coach of the Year before the season. I thought he was a good wager because of who they, I thought the addition of A.J. Brown, to me, Chris, what we're seeing is the addition of Tyreek Hill, but Jalen Waddle was already there, but the addition of Tyreek Hill, the addition of A.J. Brown, what a major, major difference having a true wide receiver one makes. Now, A.J. Brown, it's not like he's clobbering everybody with stats, but it's just having that guy on your team at any point is just such a major uptick for quarterbacks who are in developmental phases. That's what we're learning.
Yeah, I mean, listen, having a number one receiver makes a difference, and we've seen it time and time again. Think back to the Buffalo Bills when they traded for Stephon Diggs. Before that, a lot of people were on the fence about what Josh Allen would be. They get a number one receiver, and now Josh Allen is one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the entire NFL. So I think having that number one receiver, a guy that can dictate front and coverage and clear up the picture at the line of scrimmage pre-snap for the quarterback, makes all the difference. And we're seeing that with A.J. Brown and his impact in Philadelphia.
Chris Candy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Worst situation. I heard this yesterday on ESPN. Worst situation at quarterback, Denver or Green Bay? Who you got?
Oh, boy. You know, yes. That would be my answer.
Yes.
They're both bad. But with Denver, It's a tougher situation because there is no alternative to Russell Wilson. At least in Green Bay, there is an alternative to Aaron Rodgers. if, in fact, you want to chart a path forward and part company. With Denver, you don't have that, and on top of that, you don't know what you have in your head coach. Or maybe you do know what you have, but it's not a good answer. So I think Denver is a much tougher situation. And you saw some of the frustration boiling over from some guys on the defensive side of the ball down in Charlotte last week when they played the Panthers. I just think it's so far short of the expectations that we had for that team coming into this season that it does warrant a lot of concern. And guys, if in fact the Broncos do move on from Nathaniel Hackett at the end of this year, you have to ask yourself, how attractive is this Denver Broncos job, knowing that you're going to be saddled with Russell Wilson for the foreseeable future? I know it sounds crazy to think that or to say that, but you look at, in contrast to what we're seeing in Seattle with Pete Carroll and what he's doing with Geno Smith, you got to ask yourself, maybe the recent struggles for the Seahawks prior to this year was more on Russell Wilson than the head coach and the general manager.
Yeah, and you know, Aaron Rodgers, you can turn on a game at any point, see a great throw still, see a strong game, see a good... Like Aaron Rodgers, you're trying to figure out what's going on, is how much of that is psychological. Russell looks washed, and I hate to say that because I was a huge Russell Wilson fan. I thought he was a really good football player who was underrated for years. But the fact is, he's inaccurate. He's making poor decisions. He's not seeing the field well. I mean... He was a quarterback who liked plays to come off schedule. It was always blamed on offensive line. Offensive line wasn't great in Seattle. But I think Russell's at his best when plays come off schedule. This is a schedule-based, rhythm-based offense, and Russell looks wildly uncomfortable, does not see reads. It's been pointed out on multiple broadcasts. I don't think it gets better. I think that is a nightmare when you tie in that the draft consideration gone and the salary cap that's going to be eaten up. Denver better be very careful. They just got rid of Bradley Chubb. Like, I'm not saying they're headed to a beat-up roster like the Texans had after Bill O'Brien got done with us, but I'm just saying that is going to do some damage to Denver.
Yeah, I agree with you. And then you think about trying to attract the most qualified candidates when the hiring cycle happens. You know, how attractive is it? You don't have your first-round draft pick. 30s that you don't know if he can play, but yet he's saddled with the organization for the next 5 years.
All right, quickly before you go, we're running out of time here. Are you worried about Josh Allen at all and his miscues in the red zone lately?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, he's on pace for 24 turnovers this season. That's not great, guys.
No.
Not great. He's got 13 so far and 6 of them in the red zone. That's the most important thing when you start talking about playoff-level football, which is what we're going to start going into starting in December. It's all about situational awareness. And Josh Allen has talked about not being great in terms of having situational awareness. And that's not a good place to be as a team when your quarterback is admitting that 3 months into the season. So I think that has to be highly concerning if you're Sean McDermott. The Von Miller injury gives you less margin for error because you don't necessarily have that pass rusher that can close out tight ball games for you. So, yeah, I'm concerned about the Buffalo Bills so much so that if you ask me to put money on a team to win the AFC East, I'm putting my money on the Miami Dolphins. And as you guys know, that's an uncomfortable place for me to be in because I'm not buying into Tua non-fully. But right now, based on how the two teams are playing, I think the Dolphins to win that division.
That's the most underrated phrase now, Tuanon, is one of the most underrated phrases in sports right now. I don't think you have to buy into Tuanon. I just think Mike McDaniel, Mike Gesicki, Waddle, Reek, the running game, it's made it really easy for him to operate. It's like, man, this feels like Alabama all over again. This is great.
They're out talented everybody at every position. It's wild. That is Chris Canty with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Canty and Carlin. At Chris Canty 99 on Twitter. Chris, as always, man, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us. Great to talk to you again.
All right, John Lance. Appreciate it. Talk to you again soon.
All right, there he is, Chris Canty with us here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nice get there, RJ. Nice job. Time to talk right now about Chastain Ford. That's a nice job there. What they're doing is unbelievable. What they're doing is making sure that you get your vehicle under MSRP every time you order it from Chastain Ford. And other places aren't doing that. They're just not doing it. at Chastang Ford, you're going to get the best deal. You're going to get the best service. You're going to get the people who are so attentive. You're going to go back when after you buy it there. Their return business is greater than their. Everybody goes back, and everybody tells other people about going to Chastang Ford because you were getting the best dealership in the city of Houston. I'm telling, I truly believe this, and I think that you got to do this when you're going to order that Ford car or truck. You got to do it. They also have pre-owned vehicles, and listen, when they're pre-owned vehicles and they're on the lot and they're gold certified, you're going to get unbelievable interest rates, which is difficult right now to get those interest rates, but they're giving you the best interest rates they possibly can. And when you buy new, you're getting all the rebates, and again, you're paying under MSRP every single time when you order from Chastang Ford. If you're looking for the best dealership to get that Ford car or truck, there's one place to go, and that's ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.